Log Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5,
nope.
The righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek,
for
glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath.
Craig Lucas.
You an African American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do you follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Never gonna win.
Nope.
Trying to make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trotting? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yep.
Good morning, Babakwatawab. Good morning, Babakwatawab. To Yasha Allah. Shalom, shalom. I hope everybody is in good health. All praises to the Most High, Yahweh Shai. Hope everybody had a great weekend, man. Mine was good. I want to, first of all, apologize, man. I kind of left y'all hanging last Tuesday. We had some technical difficulties and some miscommunications, but nevertheless, man, back in full effect this morning, Tazapod Tuesdays. Welcome to the show, y'all. Still trying to get the cobwebs off me from last night. Not a good night of sleeping, but I'm going to make it work, man. Blessed and grateful to open my eyes to another day. Thanking the Most High for my health and all the things he blessed me with, y'all. But like I want to always do, Psalms 118 and verse 24. This is the day which the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So, man, all praises to the Most High. Thank him for the day, good or bad, happy or sad, man. It's all his will. If you're going through anything rough, if you're going through a joyous time in your life, man, enjoy it. Enjoy it. And I know it sounds kind of crazy, but even the scripture says, let me get that too. It's in James. Yeah, here it is. It's James 1 and 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. So, like I said, I know this sounds crazy, man. Like, who would be happy about going through temptations or experiencing some drama in their life, man? You know, the natural man or the carnal man, it's like the scripture says, he received not the spirit of the Most High. Spiritual things seem foolish, you know? So looking at it from a natural human perspective instead of a spiritual perspective, you wouldn't be happy about tribulations or any temptations that you might be going through. But a spiritual person, a spiritual being, it says, verse 3, knowing this is what a spiritual being is going to know, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So these things are designed to try your what? It's to try your faith to see if you really believe or if you're going to be under the notion that because you're going through something that is difficult, that the Bible is no longer valid, that the Bible is no longer beneficial, that the things that you've been taught aren't going to help you, that the scriptures don't apply. This is when you get the sayings that people will use. Well, I know the scripture says this, but this is what I'm feeling. Well, this is what I'm going through. Well, man, don't give me those scriptures. I'm talking about real life. This is where you get those sayings to come in, and they have a profound effect over people's mentals, their belief, and their convictions. Effective, if you're going to be spiritual, then you should understand this. This is the benefit of it all. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. So your faith is going to be tried through a situation in which you have to be patient in. And through your patience, your works are going to be perfected. Then you can show somebody else how to go through what it was that you just went through. And it's what it says, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let them ask the Most High, that give it to all men liberally, freely, and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. But you have to go through these processes, these different stages in your life. It's like, and our people, man, we're definitely the Israelites. But one of my favorite artists, man, and I do listen to hip-hop, y'all. Scarface, man. One of his songs, man, before I even came to the knowledge, but very profound statement, man. He says there's three stages in life, man. He said you're either in a storm, out of a storm, or you just got out of one. And that's the truth, man. That's pretty much how it goes. No, it's not biblical. But the brother was definitely on to something. You know, like the scriptures tell us in Romans 10, chapter 1, it says, I bear them record, for they have a zeal of the Most High, but not according to knowledge, man. So you might see a lot of your favorite entertainers, athletes, celebrities, they might make statements that seem spiritual or seem like, you know what I'm saying? You could just tell that they do have that zeal of the Most High, but not necessarily the scriptures, not necessarily the word of the Most High, but they have that zeal, that passion for the Most High. And they're looking for something spiritual, man, as we all should be looking for something spiritual, because the carnal, man, this stuff, like Paul said, man, oh, wretched man, oh, wretched man am I, is what he said. And he was talking about being in this of our spirit, that's housing our spirit, that we call our, the biggest organ in your body, man, your skin, your flesh. This stuff that we in, man, it can't have enough of anything. This is why you see people overindulge in alcohol, overindulge in drugs and food. Food is also a vice, y'all. I don't think enough of our people are aware of that, you know. And I tell people all the time when they ask me for dietary advice, or, you know, they're trying to get in shape or what have you, and they ask me for fitness advice. And I always tell them, man, 90% of it is going to be what you put in your mouth. It's going to be your food intake. And they have big issues with that. They usually have big issues with that. Because, you know, you can show somebody workouts and you can give them a workout plan, and they don't have a problem with that necessarily. They don't. They'll be willing to do that. But when you start messing with their food, man, they draw the line in the sand. And the reason being is because most of us have an unhealthy relationship with food. And not to sound cliche or whatever, and I know you probably heard this before, but you should eat to live, not live to eat. But that'd be the case with most of us, most of our people, man. We're just eating, you know, just because it tastes good, because it makes us feel, but it's comfort. Anyway, man, let me get off the soapbox. But welcome to the show, y'all. I am going to be doing, and I think it's part five, Mashaba set it up on the blog talk to religion. Is it for you? I'm definitely going to get into it in the second hour of the show. But first, like I always do, man, I want to get, man, let me see. Bear with me just a second, y'all. I'm going to get this, though. Boom. And I know y'all heard about this. I guess I'll, let me see. Let me go ahead and read this. And then I'm going to find the other article that I got. Wait a minute. Because I was kind of fooling around, y'all, on my iPad, and I lost some of the stuff that I wanted to go over. But it's all good. This is the one I wanted to get to. Then I'm going to go back to the other one. Because this one is definitely a headline. This struck me when I was reading. It says, and this is from CNN, too, y'all. It says, Evanston, Illinois approves the country's first reparation program for Black residents. You hear that? Reparations programs for Black residents. All right. Officials in Chicago suburbs of Evanston voted Monday to release the first batch of funds in the program, offering reparations to Black residents whose families have felt the effects of decades of discrimination, housing practices, according to the Chicago Tribune and Evanston Now. It is the first of its kind in the country. Alderman Robin Rule Simmons and the Evanston City Council developed plans to direct revenue from a 3% tax on legalized cannabis into assistance for home loans. So they using dope money basically to give black folks so-called reparations. Excuse me, y'all. Got this tea going. Let me read on a little bit. It says, quote, "We had to do something radically different to address the racial divide that we had in our city, which includes historic oppression, exclusion, and divestment in the black community," Simmons told CNN. Now, she's a sister, y'all. This Alderman Robin Rule Simmons, she's a sister. Now, when I was reading this, man, this is what gets me. Let's go to Genesis 49. Man, the scriptures are so real, man. Genesis 49 and let's see. Here we go. Genesis 49, verse 8. "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise." Right? We know it was talking about the tribe of Judah. And you look at the tribe of Judah, so-called blacks, and Judah pretty much sets all the trends, man. And I don't care what tribe you from any of the nation of Israel, Zebulun, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Issachar, I don't care what tribe you from, man, you're following the trends of Judah, basically. Judah is definitely the head tribe, man, because every other tribe follows in their footsteps. From Judah's singing, from the Judah style, the way they dress, the way they walk, the way they move, the way they dance. I mean, because this is something that strikes me too, man. There's just so many clues that the Most High left. It's just all over our people. When he said we were a peculiar people, but y'all know that in St. Louis, we call it bopping. In Chicago, Houston, but that's totally different. Bopping is what Chicago calls stepping, y'all. In case you didn't know. In St. Louis, we call it bopping. That's what my mama Dukes and old dude used to call it. My relative call it bopping. Chicago, they call it stepping. And it's crazy because Manessa Ephraim, they call it salsa dancing. But when you look at the dance, it's basically the exact same thing. A man is leading, a woman is following, and there's certain steps that you do. Ain't that something, y'all? Well, we came up with that. Specifically the tribe of Judah, man. But let me get to my point. Let me read this again. Genesis 49, verse 8. "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand," and this is what I want to get to, "thy hand," good job, son. Genesis 49, verse 8. "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemy." This is the part I want to get to. When it says thy hand, Judah's hands will be in the neck of his enemy. I don't care what position of government or politics you go into, man, you always find who? A Judahite. A black man or a black woman ignorantly lobbying for our people for something to happen. Because this issue of reparations or the conversation of the reparations have been brought up many of times, but it ain't till like what, the last year or so that it's really become a big topic of conversation. And now we're seeing it here being manifest through this sister in Chicago trying to push through an initiative to get reparations for housing for so-called black people, man. But it just goes to show, man, how the scripture's holding true. Judah's hand is always in the neck of Esau, you know, like a pain in the neck. You ever heard that expression? Man, you're just a pain in the neck. But that's what the scripture is talking about. Judah has been the pain in the neck of Esau, man, to keep pricking him, to keep bothering him, to let him know, hey, look, this is what you've done to us. I'm not going to let you forget. Hey, we here. Hey, we ain't going nowhere. Hey, you got to deal with us. Hey, you brought us over here. We ain't going nowhere. This is why when you see we move in their neighborhood, they move out. We've infiltrated every arena of life that you can think of that the so-called white man is operating in. We there. You look up and we there, man. I don't care where you go. You're going to at least see one of us. Now, like I said, our people are ignorantly doing this, though, because listen to this, y'all. Matter of fact, did I read the rest of this? No, let me read the next portion, then I'm going to jump. It says the first initiative of the $10 million plan is the restoration. Let me turn this up. I hope everybody can hear me. The first initiative of the $10 million plan is the Restoration Housing Reparations Program that would distribute up to $25,000 for housing per eligible resident, with funding expected to come from the 3% tax of recreational marijuana sales, according to CNN affiliate WLS. Now, remember the scripture says, rise and depart. This is not your rest. It does, man. But if some brothers could get some housing and they can get some money to go towards some housing, I'm all for it. Because it does tell us in, I think it's Jeremiah, the 28th chapter, I think it is. I might be wrong. But it told us, matter of fact, let me get it. I am spending a little bit more time than I anticipated on this, but it's all good. This is my show, right? And I know, man, it's like part five to this. When I had hit Mashaba with the title, man, I didn't even remember. I was like, man, I think it's part so-and-so. He corrected me like, no, man, it's like part five. And I was kind of apprehensive. I'm like, tell me, how many parts of this you want to do? And I'm like, man, I'm going to do as many parts as need be done for it to be done the right way, for the way I wanted to come out. So anyway, let me see if this is it. Yeah, here it is. It's actually Jeremiah chapter 29, because in 28, he was telling, he was dealing with that prophet that was speaking against what the Most High told Jeremiah to say to Israel, that we was going to go into captivity. And the dude was like, nah, we ain't going to captivity. He started prophesying false stuff. But anyway, verse 29, the Most High says this. He says, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem, unto Babylon. Now listen to this, y'all. And remember, Babylon was one of the many captivities that we've been in, and we are here currently in captivity. Now, the last captivity, I might add, verse 5, build ye houses. You hear that? It says, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. So the Most High was telling us, hey, man, look, y'all going to be in captivity, but life goes on. Get you a house. Have some kids. Raise them right. Raise them in my law, statutes, and commandments. Because truth be told, man, like Christ said, man, we don't know the hour. We don't know the day. We don't know how long we're going to be here. So going back to my original point, man, if you have the opportunity to get in on this reparations stuff and get you some money for a house, man, by all means, man, get you a crib. Get you a crib. But also remember, like the scripture says, rise apart. This is not your rest. It also says, come out of her, my people. Don't let the mindset be that, oh, I'm good now. I'm comfortable. I'm going to stay here, and I don't want nothing better. Because honestly, y'all, look, and I had to look it up too. This is the definition for reparations. And I remember Carl Cobb breaking this down before. Yeah, I may have heard it. But this is the definition for reparations. And the first thing it says, y'all, is a repairing or keeping in repair. So what does it mean to get reparations? It means to repair some. Now, ain't no damn money going to repair us. Ain't no houses going to repair us fully, man. Because it tells us in Deuteronomy 28:28 that the Most High will smite us with madness. And they ain't talking about who I'm mad at the world, who I'm going to fight. No, it's talking about literally insanity. Who's going to repair us from being insane? Who's going to repair us, man, from all our shortcomings and mental instabilities that we have? And don't try to front, y'all, act, well, I ain't crazy. All of us are a little crazy in this damn place. If you haven't been touched or psychologically traumatized by this place in some type of form or fashion, then you're not a human being. It's impossible to be here and not be affected by this place mentally, psychologically. So don't be trying to walk around, y'all, like you high and mighty with your nose in the air, looking down at other people that have obvious problems, substance abuse issues, obvious mental disorders. But a lot of us got the stuff that you can't see on the surface. They're not surface-level issues. But if you be around a person long enough, if you live with a person long enough, 10, 15, 20 years, then you will start to see their psychological issues. Hell, what do you think we got the Bible for in the first place? When the scripture says to sanctify them, sanctify means to clean up. Our minds are full of debris, psychological baggage. Like the damn song Erykah Badu made, Bag Lady. That's real, man. Go back and listen to that song, what she talking about, the lyrics. She said, when they see you coming, niggas take off running from you. You got too much stuff, too much baggage. Well, guess what? We all got baggage. We all damn bag women and bag men, too. We all bringing baggage to the party. But where was I at, man? Because it's 10:30. Let me jump to the other article. Let me finish my point. Don't get comfortable here, y'all. Do not. This place is polluted, man. But if you have an opportunity to get you a crib, man. All right? But understand, we're not going to fully be repaired until Yahweh Shah comes back and gives us the real reparations. The real repair. We need our spirits repaired. They're so damaged. They're so effed up, man, from this place. And not just us, man. We pass down our stuff to our kids. I don't know if y'all know that, man. Look at your kids. Take a day and just examine your shorties, man. And look at how they move. And you can start pointing out some different attributes from each parent. Attributes and then different shortcomings from each parent. Anyway, what I wanted to go to next. Yeah, I thought I was going to get this right here. Let's go back. Come on, man. Guess I got to do it this way. Bear with me for a second, y'all. All right, y'all. Shoot 'em up. Shoot 'em up. Man, it says CNN police readings of Boulder shooter victims. I don't know if y'all heard about the shooting that went down in, guess where? Colorado again, yeah, right? Somebody always getting shot in damn Colorado, man. Since Columbine, probably before Columbine, actually. All right. Kid killed in Colorado grocery store shooting. Damn, they can't even go to the grocery store no more, man. It's crazy. What happened? 10 people, including a police officer, were killed Monday after a gunman opened fire in a grocery store in Boulder, Colorado. Police released their names this morning. The shooter, police identified Ahmad Al-Awi Alisa as the suspect. Well, I thought it was a white boy, Edomite. It says, but the name implies that he's Ishmael. He's in a custody, and charged with 10 counts of murder in the first degree. Authorities have not yet shared information on a possible motive. Boulder Police Chief says suspect was shot in leg. No motive yet. Boulder Police Chief Maris Harrell says the suspect in two of these supermarket murders was shot in the leg. She said it's unclear if he was shot by law enforcement officers. Harrell said investigators have spoken to the suspect, but they can't say what his motive may have been at this point. The suspect is currently being treated for his wound and is expected to be booked into jail later this afternoon. These are the victims. So, got 10 victims. Now, I wanted to get to this point. Because I don't know if y'all know this, man, but there's been 7 mass shootings this year so far in the United States. I'm trying to find that. You know, and it's like Yahweh Shai told Peter when they came to get him, and Peter pulled out his sword and cut one of the guard's ears off. Yahweh Shai turned and told him, said, man, after he healed the dude's ear, he'll live by the sword, shall die by the sword, man. America. Well, he said, this cannot be our new norm. What you mean new norm, man? Y'all been killing people. Anyway, like I was saying, America, man. This is what you founded your country on, violence. So why are you surprised when you get mass shootings and people committing violence? Because there was shootings also in Columbia. Man, oh, you know what? I got a list. So this says Columbine happened in 99 too, y'all. So Columbine was in 99. The New Life shootings in Aranda and Colorado Springs, 07. The movie theater shooting in Colorado was in 2012. The Planned Parenthood shooting in Colorado Springs was in 2015. The apartment complex shooting in Douglas County, Colorado was in 2017. The Steam School Highlands Ranch shooting in Highlands Ranch, Colorado was in 2019. You see what I'm saying, man? It's like, if you want to just kill a whole bunch of people, go to Colorado with a rifle, I guess. Man, I don't know. Crazy, man. But I was looking for the one that talked about, they should just have like a recorded statement for when these mass shootings in Colorado happen, because they should be used to it. And I'm not, look, for anybody get the tripping, man, get offended, I'm not making light of 10 people being dead or deaf at all, man. I know what it's like to lose a loved one. My uncle just passed, as a matter of fact. Rest his soul. I'm very familiar with death. I'm sick of funerals. which is why I'm not going. But no, I'm not making light of that at all, y'all. But I'm just saying, the scriptures also says, man, yeah, let me get that. I can't find what I was looking for, y'all, that counts down, but it's been seven. Y'all can look it up. This is 7 mass shootings this year so far. And let me, I'm going to go Colossians 3:25. And it reads, Colossians chapter 3, verse 25. But he that doeth wrong, listen to this, y'all. It's one of my favorites. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong for which he had done. And there is no respect of persons. So if you've done something wrong, you're going to get paid back. You're not getting away with it, man. You founded a country on violence. So guess what's happening in the country? You founded on violence. Violence. So don't be surprised. All right, let me get this one right here. And I had this article lined up for last Tuesday. So this is, y'all probably heard about it by now. But it reads, letter people Catholics are stunned by the Vatican's rebuff of same-sex union. And I say letter people, y'all, that's what I call them. But it, the title says LGBTQ Catholics. They the letter people to me. I'm about sick of their ass. Excuse my French. And this is the reason I'm sick of them, y'all. Of course, biblically, it's sickening. But just on a basic level, you want me, you're going out of your way to get me to treat you normal. When your sexual preference ain't normal and your sexual preference is actually private, that's something that you, whatever you're doing in the bedroom with your woman, if you're a heterosexual, which I hope you are, or your man, that's your business. That's just like me. I like to do XYZ in the bedroom with my woman and I'm going out in public and telling everybody that I like doing this with my woman, XYZ with my woman. And they shouldn't treat me different because I do XYZ with my woman. They should accept that. And you know what? They should do it too. But that's my personal business. They ain't got nothing to do with the price of tea in China. That is my personal business. What y'all do is y'all personal business. In the bedroom, that's your business. I don't want to see it. I don't want to be around it. But you're trying to make everybody accept what you do privately, publicly. That's off. That's completely off. Then you want to get mad at people when they don't want to accept that nonsense. But, dude, this is your business. You should have, I liked it better. I hate this place. I really do. But I at least liked it better when y'all ass was in the closet. Yeah, I was on the low. It was your business. But it's like y'all coming out now in these droves and y'all promoting this, these letter people. And you don't see people just going out promoting heterosexuality. Oh, I'm heterosexual with a flag and all that. You don't see people doing that. This is how you know that it ain't, that it's abnormal. You're going out of your way to prove that something that's not normal is normal. Come on, man, stop. Anyway, so the Catholic, letter people Catholics are mad because they can't get married to each other no more. The Vatican is not recognizing their marriages, which is like a contradictory because y'all got all them pedophiles and punks and dykes because y'all won't let them get married in the Catholic Church. But anyway, the Vatican's declaration that same-sex unions are in sin, the Roman Catholic Church cannot bless yeah, was no surprise for LGBTQ Catholics in the United States, yet it stunned deeply nevertheless. Maureen Dudley Burke, executive director of Dignity USA, said her organization membership includes same-sex couples who have been together for decades, preserving in their love for one another in the face of bias and family rejection. The fact that our church, quote, at its highest levels cannot recognize the grace in that and cannot extend any sort of blessing to these couples is just tragic, she said. She was responding to a formal statement Monday from the Vatican's Orthodox office, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, saying Roman Catholic clergy may not bless such unions since God cannot bless sin. It was approved, Pope Francis. This is like, what is it, Matthew chapter 23, when it talks about the Pharisees and the scribes. He said, Christ told them, and I'm paraphrasing, okay, don't do what they're doing, but listen to what they're telling you, because what they're telling you is right. You know, it's that do as I say, not as I do attitude. But this is right, what they said. What the Catholic Church stands on the letter people is correct. They say Catholic clergy may not bless such unions since God cannot bless sin. Because as we know, what is it, 1 John 3:4, sin is a transgression of the law. Well, in the law it says that a man laying down with another man is an abomination. It does say that, a form of fornication. And the verdict was that they be put to death. This is the verdict. But let me not even go there. Okay, but that was the verdict. So the Most High, and Most High called it an abomination, which is a filthy, wicked act. It's something that he absolutely loathes. So they're right in what they're saying, but they often their practices and their application of it. But anyway, they're doing all of this behind a bill that they're trying to pass through Congress now. And I had the article, damn. But this bill would basically make you cater to these letter people. I don't know if y'all heard about the story of the cake maker a couple of years back he refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple. And long story short, he went to court and he lost a lot of money trying to fight the battle, had to lay some employees off, et cetera. Matter of fact, I think he won. I think he won his argument in court. But the financial cost, according to what I read, basically made his business decline. And what he was saying was, under, I forget which amendment, it might be the First Amendment, freedom of religion. For y'all that remember the Constitution, help me out. That might be the one, the constipation. But he used that as grounds for his defense. Well, the amendment that they're about to pass, or they're trying to push through Congress, and they more than likely will, it's going to basically make you do things for these letter people that are against your religious convictions. So if, and not just dealing with the letter people, the bill that they're trying to pass would force people, like, if you want to, like, let's say you go in and you're trying to terminate a pregnancy, and you go to the doctor and you want him to do it, but he's against that. Under this new bill they're trying to pass, he would have to perform it anyway, even though it was against his religious convictions. The bill also opened up women's sports for those trainees, for those transformers, y'all. I know, man. Sick, sick, sick place, man. That's why I hate this place. I can't wait to get the hell out of here, man. This place, ugh. Just make throw up in your damn mouth. All right, now I want to get to this one right here because this is a perfect follow-up from that one. And this is from, I ain't never heard of this. Oh, News Music News. News Music News or News Music Entertainment. Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion received FCC complaints for Grammys WAP performance. Yep. And I believe that these hoes won a Grammy for that because they are some hoes. Come on, man. People get mad when you say that. Listen to the damn song. The song used the old, I forgot who made that damn song, but they use a sample from that song. There's some hoes in it. There's some hoes in this house. They use that sample. What are they saying that they are themselves? Hoes. What are they presenting themselves as? Hoes. I didn't watch the Grammys. I don't do the award shows because it's just us being damn buffoons and sluts and damn dope fiends. I don't watch that shit no more, y'all. Excuse my French. I remember the real award shows, like, you know, when Mike was on there and doing his thing. The young Chris Brown doing his thing. When they actually had good award shows, you know. Anyway, I didn't watch this one, but I heard about it. And I heard about it so much that I had to go and watch it. So I went on YouTube and saw it. And it's a damn disgrace, man. They all, first of all, they butt-ass naked with all their ass hanging out, breasts hanging out. They got poles on the stage. They got a damn bed on the stage. And then in one scene, Megan on top of Cardi B humping on the man, they dyking on the stage. You know, and I always say this, man, I can just imagine how the Most High be looking at us, his children. Imagine one of your kids doing this. How would you feel? How would you be looking at your kids? Then you can understand how the Most High feels. Anyway, it says Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion's Grammy performance of WAP drew dozens of complaints to the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, after it aired last weekend. Dallas broadcaster WFAA obtained the complaints by filing an information request with the FCC, gaining access to the criticism of 80 disgruntled viewers. The pair performed a clean version of the song rather than the explicit original. It don't even matter at this point which version they perform. It's WAMP. It's an acronym. Y'all put it together, y'all, if y'all haven't. Everybody knows what this means by now. So it don't matter if you're doing a clean version, dirty version. Fill in the blanks. It says, but their outfits and choreography were described by many complaints complainants as pornography, which one saying that looked as if they were dancing in a strip club. Yeah, it was, man. All you have to do is use your imagination. The outfits they were wearing, matter of fact, there was much to be left to your imagination. I'm sorry, little to be left to your imagination because they basically did all work for you. The outfits they were wearing and the movements they did were absolutely disgusting, quotes, wrote an Idaho viewer, adding, this network should face very stiff penalties. And you know what, man? Yeah, they're right. I'm disgusted. I feel the same way. But, you know, Esau is something else, man. Something else, man. They're double tongue, as the scriptures say, man. They have a forked tongue. You'll sit up here and bash this, but you aired it. You aired it. Let me calm down. I'm about to get potty mouthed. You aired it on national television, and now you blaming them for acting it. Matter of fact, you let them press it on wax. You promoted it. You've been promoting the lewd, sinful behavior of our people. because you understand the influence it'll have. So that influence is going to influence our young ones and keep us further and further away from the Most High. The Grammys need to require the artists not to perform, not to be performing any type of sexual acts, and require clothes to stay on and not stripping down to bras and panties, said another. Though neither Megan nor Cardi actually performed sex acts, and both wore costumes. They might as well. Back to the article, y'all. I'm sorry. Many complainants also referenced cancel culture and questioned why WAP could be performed at the Grammys, while some books by children authors Dr. Seuss have been canceled. Now, say something else, man. I don't know if y'all heard about the cancel culture. They're canceling Dr. Seuss books because they're saying that they're racial. These people, man. These people. Like I said, man, fart tongues. This is the quotes, Cardi B. The media has a problem with Dr. Seuss. She had a lot. No, this is not Cardi B. This is one of the views. The media has a problem with Dr. Seuss, yet allows Cardi B to sing about her womp on national television, wrote Texas complaint. Cardi B responded to similar comments early in the week after conservatives also drew the comparison. And listen to what she says. She says, when has a school made kids read the lyrics to WAP? I get it. WAP might be a little vulgar, but stop comparing a sensual song to books that has racist content. Hello, hello? Man, these bastards kick me off. I hope everybody can hear me. It looks like I'm back on, man. But this is what she said. But this is my take on it, y'all. Let me get this one first. Leviticus 19:29. It says, do not prostitute thy daughter. What does this mean, y'all? Don't make your daughter a prostitute. How do you prostitute your daughter? Because people might read this, or this scripture might get pulled on some people, some women, what have you, some men. You might ask, well, how am I prostituting my daughter? If you got your daughter wearing certain clothes that's revealing, that's showing everything, or she's, or you allowing her to act sensual, or she act grown when she's a little girl, then you're prostituting her. Plain and simple, man. Look, you think I'm being this for a fresh type of pot? Have y'all remember that damn show, HBO special they did, Hookers at the Point? Or have you seen a prostitute in whatever part of the country you've been in? What's the first thing that catches the trick eye? The way she dressed. The way she is dressed. That type of dress gets them attention to lure the trick in so they could perform the trick and get the money from the trick. So no, it's not far-fetched. It's like even now, man, you see women out in the street wearing, I'm sick of these yoga pants, the stretch pants, tight jeans, all of it, man. It's like, as a man, you don't want to look, but it's like, it's in your face. Like, damn, put some clothes on, man. You're advertising. You know, in the moment somebody walks up to them and they proposition them, then they're offended. But you got a damn whore's uniform on. You're dressed like a prostitute. Anyway, back to my point. Verse 29. Do not prostitute thy daughter. This is what the scriptures say. But why does it say this? To cause her to be a whore. You see that? To cause her to be a whore. So prostituting ain't just the transaction sex for money. It's the whole ensemble. It's the whole spirit of it, from the dress, from the look, from the walk, and then the actual act, which is the whore. That's the whore part right there. It says, lest the land fall to whoredom, and the land be, and the land become full of wickedness, man. And this is true. Because what happens with our women is we see everybody else worshiping these hoes, and our little girls and our women think that, ooh, look at the attention that they're getting. I want to be like that. I want to dress like, I'm going to put my hair, I'm going to do my lashes like her. Then I get the attention that she gets, not understanding that she's promoting being a hoe. I don't think we get that. Well, I like the song. Well, she's attached to the song. Look what she's talking about. This is what you like, what you're saying. She's speaking for you. Her dressing like that, she's dressing for you. She's promoting you. And you got these damn women rights activists coming out of the blue trying to defend her being a hoe. It's just sad, man. It's like this just really shows you how we're in truly in the last days. Our women have not always been like this. Back in the day, and I'm talking about just Jake people, they don't even know the truth. Back in the day, women carried themselves way more conservative than they do now, man. There was a point of time where they might show a little leg. That was it. Now they showing every damn thing. And they think, like them damn letter people, they think this behavior is normal. That's why I read the letter people article first, to get to this one, to show you the contradictories in this society. This is great Babylon, meaning great confusion. Anything goes. Come on, damn. Now y'all got morals, but y'all just gave these letter people rights to get married and raise kids, but now all of a sudden you got morals. And I ain't trying to justify these hoes, not at all. But I just got to show both sides of the coin, man. The Most High said, don't prostitute your daughter. Let me get Ezekiel chapter 8. And you know what's sad, man? I bet their parents is perfectly fine with them strutting their naked ass all over everywhere, smelling like I don't know what. As long as they got a house and put giving them money. Man, it's like Christ said, man. What is a man to gain if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Where are your damn morals at, man? Then this whole Cardi B, I seen the clip, cut her song off when her daughters listened to it. Then she tried to use the exclaim, what, and even she did in this article, y'all need to raise y'all kids. Well, let me calm down. Ho, why don't you stop being a bad example? Why don't you stop selling your soul for filthy lucre? How about that? Because it's clear your ass got a little bit of sense. I've heard her in several interviews speak very intelligently. She got some kind of damn sense. So you know what you're doing. You know, and this is why when you see these entertainers, they high, they drunk, or they popping some damn pill, because their guilt is killing their ass. Because their conscience, and I've said this before, this is my opinion, y'all. It's not scriptural, but I believe that our conscience is an extension of the Most High. Anyway, Ezekiel chapter 8, I'm going to read it. I'm going to start at verse 6. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 6. He said furthermore unto me, son of man, they do. This is the Most High speaking to Ezekiel. He like, Ezekiel, do you see what they doing? Like I said, man, imagine your kid on the stage doing the womp stuff, crap. How you would feel. Think about how the Most High feels, y'all, to see us like this in this degenerated state. See what he said? He says, see furthermore unto me, son of man. Come back to the scripture, y'all. See thou what they do? Even the great abominations. He said, great abominations that the house of Israel commit here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. Meaning the Most High is like, I ain't even messing with y'all. It says, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see great abomination. He like, man, this ain't nothing. Watch this. You know, and in the, you can read on the chapter, it goes on to name several more abominations, and they just get wicked and wicked about each one he mentioned. But I'm going to jump to this. I'm going to jump to Jeremiah chapter 13. Okay, yeah, it's 11:03. I want to get to my class. So Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 27. And it reads, I have seen thy adulteries and thy ninings. Nines mean crying. That's what horses be doing. They be crying and wincing and pouting and stuff. So the Most High said, man, I done seen your adulteries. I've seen your whining, your whining, your crying. He says, the lewdness of thy whoredom. This is the Most High speaking to us. And thy abominations on the hills in the fields. Meaning it's out in the open. Everybody can see, man. A hill is something that sits up high. You got to look up at it. Everybody can see. He says the hills in the fields. A field is something that's just wide open. You can see it. The Most High said, man, I done seen your lewdness. I done seen your whoredom. It's everywhere. You can't miss it. Look at us. Look at us as a people, man. You can't turn on the damn internet, YouTube, or what have you, without seeing if it ain't the whole Cardi B, it's the whole Megan Thee Stallion, or them damn City Girl hoes, or the other hoes. It's just so many hoes, like, damn, pick one. It says, woe unto thee, O Jerusalem, wilt thou not be made clean? Listen to this. Wilt thou not be made clean? What is he telling us? We filthy as hell. It says, when shall it once be? When are you going to be cleaned up? When are you going to clean your act up so I can start dealing with y'all? That's what the Most High is saying. But this is the problem, man. This is the problem right here. Let me get a Lamentation. After Jeremiah 2. Lamentation chapter 5 and verse 14. The elders have ceased from the gate. This damn problem right here, man. An elder is somebody with experience that knows better, that knows the road you're going down and can spot it right off and warn you not to do that. The elders have ceased from the gates. You know what's wrong with our elders? And I'm talking about women elders. It's just plain old Jake. I ain't talking about women that know truth, but yeah, women know truth too, but I'm talking about Jake right now. There used to be a dead age. Well, it would be, and y'all remember that damn song, was it Betty Wright made that song? Tonight is the Night? When she, in the intro, go back and listen to that song. And she was she played the song for her mama. Her mama was like, I like the melody. I like the music. But she said, I know you're not going to sing that song. And I'm bringing this up because there was a time we had discretion, even in music. The song was about her first time having intercourse. And Molly's mom was like, I know you're not going to sing that song. There used to be a time where you would get an older woman that would tell you, hey, girl, you need to leave something to the imagination. You got too much showing. Here, come back in here. Put some clothes. You know, you ain't leaving my house like that. There was a time when you would do this. There was a time where an elder would see a young lady out in the street and would pull her to the side, pull her coat on something. Be like, hey, girl, you need to put some longer pants on. Something going to happen to you. Somebody going to snatch your little ass up in these. There used to be a time when our women elders would do this. There used to be a time where they would say, you ain't putting that makeup on, or you got too much makeup on. Nope, you ain't wearing those shoes. It used to be a time we did this, our elder women, but that is no longer in existence, y'all. Look how degenerate, how far we've fallen away. I'm going to read it again. Lamentations 5 and 14. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. So, like I said, this applies to Jake. This applies to Israelite women, too. If you're an Israelite woman and you ain't spending that quality time that you need to spend with your daughter, and your daughter's not dressing the way you dress, but they dressing like damn Cardi B and Meg the whole stallion, then you need to do some reevaluating, because you is tripping. Your daughter should be looking up to you. She should be dressed. She should be what, Austin Powers, Mini-Me? She should be your damn Mini-Me. There's no damn way you wearing dresses and hair wraps and your daughter got on damn pants and leggings. Ain't no damn way that should be. That's an oxymoron. That's a complete contradictory. She should be like you. But you know what the problem be? Like I said, the elders have ceased from the gate. I don't know what the hell be wrong with Israelite women, man. Y'all trying to live vicariously through y'all daughters or some shit? Excuse my French, y'all. What's y'all problem? So y'all want y'all daughters to go through the exact same things that y'all went through? Being left with wet tails and broken hearts and a lot of damn baggage for the next man to come clean up after they done been through so many like you went through. You want to be the one sitting with her in the abortion clinic like you was? Is that the idea? I'm trying to wrap my mind around it, y'all. Figure it out. What's the problem? Or it's just plain old simple insanity. You know, doing the same thing over again but expecting a different result. Let's go to Titus, man. This ties right into it. Titus chapter 2. This has been a chapter that I've been harping on for shit about a couple days now. Excuse my French again. I got potty mouth today, though. I'm sorry. But I think I could talk to y'all like this, you know. Some of y'all, anyway, for people new tuning in, they might be a little offended. I'm sorry, y'all. I get passionate, very passionate about what I'm talking about. A lot of this stuff be hitting home for me, you know. So I'm just trying to, I'm being real. I'm being, keeping it 100 with y'all, man. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, not whole things, good things, not whole things, but wholesome things. That they may teach the young women to be sober. What is the job of an elder woman? To teach the young woman to be sober-minded. How you teach them to be sober-minded and not influenced? You put their ass to work, man. They need to be busy. They need to be in kitchens. They need to be in sewing class. They need to be watching kids. They need to be helping clean the house. This is what they need to be doing. They sitting up watching damn TV all day, being on the internet all day. What they learning? Nothing. So what are they going to have to offer a husband when they meet a husband besides laying on their back? Absolutely nothing. absolutely nothing, not a damn thing. And the man is going to treat her as such. You gotta make a decision. If you're an Israelite woman raising an Israelite daughter, you gotta make a decision right now. Do you just want your daughter to be a I'm trying to be PG-13. Is your daughter just gonna be good for collecting specimens? Is she only gonna be good for collecting specimens? If you ain't teaching her nothing, like I said, how to cook, how to sew, how to clean, how to take care of kids, what is she going to be good for? Not a damn thing. You going to be crying when her ass on the stage performing WAMP, the next version of it anyway. You're doing them a disservice, man. And if you're a man and you ain't fighting with your woman over this, and you doing your child a disservice. Cousins out there, brothers, if you got a woman and she doing some of the stuff I'm talking about, man, if you ain't fighting with her, then something is wrong with you. You going to be crying when your daughter on the stage with the WAMP performance. You better be going to war. After all, it's yours. Your name's on it. Why she got your last name? It's your daughter. She came from you. You got sisters running around here aimlessly. I don't know what to do about this young girl, that young girl. You know what to do? Put their ass to work. The scripture says that idle hands teach much wickedness. This is why they all getting into all kind of shit, because they ain't busy enough. They're not busy enough. Their mind is all over the place. Verse 4, Titus chapter 2, verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love, listen to this, to love their husbands. You think I'm lying, right? It was the first thing it says. It says, be sober. So be focused on what you're doing. Don't have your mind all over the place. To love their husbands. It's the first thing you say, man. What? Come on, man. I've been saying this about the last 2-3 days. What else is a woman in Israel going to do besides have a husband, raise kids? What else is the Israelite man going to do besides have a rib and have kids? You're supposed to be teaching a young woman how to love their husband. How can you teach her how to love her husband if you're not putting her in a training ground to where she works on the things that's going to please her husband? Keeping kids, cooking, cleaning, keeping the house. These are the things. You know, society's got women twisted up to think that keeping a house, keeping the husband happy, raising kids is weak or stupid. Oh, girl, don't just let him have you in the house cleaning up and cooking. What the hell wrong with that? What's wrong with feeding your family? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with spending quality time showing your daughter how to feed her family when she have one? What's wrong with showing your daughter how to sew? Teaching her how to knit, teaching her how to garden, teaching her how to do something constructive. What's wrong with that? What, she supposed to be teaching you how to be on IG twerking or something? Or you teaching her that? That's madness, y'all. Once again, it says to love the husbands. What was that? To love their husbands, to love their children. You see this? So a woman has to be taught how to love her husband, and she has to be taught how to love her children. Because contrary to popular belief, every woman that has a child is not a mother. Mothers are made. They don't come out of the womb knowing how to be mothers. Just because she is a female don't mean she know how to be a mother. She has to be shown. How to love her children, verse 5. To be discreet. Be discreet in every form of fashion of discretion. That means the dress code should be what? Discreet. The way she talks should be discreet. The way she carries herself should be discreet. I want all the damn attention. I got to have that tallest heels on, the tightest dress, the most cleavage showing, the most lipstick, lip gloss, eyeliner, damn eyelashes, looking like the damn, like you got spiders on your eyes. I got to have all that just to get the most attention. No, the scripture says you're supposed to be discreet. Shakes, keepers at home. What does keeper at home mean? I know the how to housekeep. Housekeeping 101. Good. Obedient to their own husband. You hear that? To their own husband. You sister, stop going and counseling with other men. Counsel with your husband. You got to go get some other man's opinion on what your husband thinks. What? How does that make sense? Let me ask my man. Let me counsel with him. No, I might not like what he's saying, but he is my husband. The scriptures does say, I claim I believe in the Bible. It says, submit yourselves to your husband as unto the Lord. So let me do that. So let me go and ask this brother over here, especially regarding some about my damn family. What part of the Bible was that? Don't the scripture say if a woman will learn anything, let her ask her husband at home? Don't the scripture say that? Now, before people get in their feeling, I'm not saying that you and your husband shouldn't counsel with another brother. I'm not saying that. I'm saying your ass shouldn't be running off to counsel with a brother that ain't your husband and your husband ain't present or have no damn knowledge of the counsel. That's what I'm saying. Why else would the scripture say obedient to their own husbands, that the work of the Most High be not blasphemed? You see that? So you don't make the word of the Most High a lie. Follow these steps. Or you're going to end up with womp material by the way of your kids and still in some kind of way. Anyway, man, I went way longer than I'm sorry, y'all. It's 11:20. I had to get that out, though. Now I'm going to switch over, y'all. I only got 30 minutes, but I'm going to get what I can in here. Of the class, religion, is it for you? And I'm going to open up in Acts chapter 7, y'all. Acts chapter 7 and verse 37. And I touched on this before, but I got to do a little small recap because I'm going to jump. So Acts chapter 7, verse 37, and it reads, y'all just tuning in. Now I'm getting to the class, or if you're still caught up in the news and everything I just said, I'm switching over now to the actual class. Religion, is it for you? So we're at Acts chapter 7, verse 37. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your power raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he. So this prophet, this talking about 37, this is he, Moses, that was in the church in the wilderness, which the angel, with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Look at the terminology that's being used here, y'all. This is very important. Because people will see the word Gentile and nations or heathen in the New Testament, and they just jump to conclusions, not reading distinctively like they were taught in grade school. But they won't see these words right here, our fathers. Our singular possessive pronoun, man. And it's talking about Moses, the children of Israel. It says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness. So who was the people that made up the original church? The Israelites. This doesn't apply to any other people, y'all. Now I got to get this. Matter of fact, verse 38, I'm reading again. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, man. You see that? Now, the word oracle means answers. Now, watch this right here in Romans chapter 3 and verse 2. See, and then Paul wrote, look, so that was Stephen in Acts. Now, this is Paul in Romans chapter 3 and verse 3. I'm sorry, verse 2. Now, I got to start at verse 1. It says, what advantage then had the Jew? So what Paul is saying, what advantage is it or what benefit is it to be an Israelite or a Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? And so we know circumcision only applies to the Israelites, y'all. You read that in Genesis, the 17th chapter, when the Most High gave that as a token of the covenant. So when you read about circumcision in the New Testament, it's only still talking about Israelites. It ain't talking about the nations. It says much every way, chiefly, now listen to this. He says it's beneficial in every way, but he said chiefly or mainly because that unto them, unto our forefathers, were committed the oracles of God. The word oracles once again means answers, how to worship, how to serve him, the meaning of life, how to conduct a family, how to deal with your wife, how to deal with your husband, how to deal with your children. All of that was given to us in the form of his words, which we know today, the tangible pieces of his word, the Bible, or the tangible pieces of the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, I should say. That's the Bible. We were the only people given this. The other people weren't given this, y'all. Anyway, back to Acts chapter 7, verse 38. I'm reading it again. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Now, so let's read about what he's talking about and what Moses was saying. So let's go, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and what verse? Verse 13. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy power, for these nations. Now listen to this, man. You can tell people to read the Bible and see that it's one book, one concurrent book, all right? These nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times. So he's saying that the nations, they listen to people that observe times. You call these people astrologists, okay? They're sorcerers. He's saying they do this. And unto diviners, meaning they be doing spells, witchcraft. But as for thee, now listen, he said, but as for thee, as for you, Israelites, the Lord thy power, or God, had not suffered thee so to do. So the nations did this. So this was the nation's thing. So by the how so by the time you get to the New Testament, the nations are included in the gifts or the oracles that Paul spoke of. That would be a complete contradictory of the Most High. Anyway, verse 15. The Lord by power will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. And the Most High did raise up prophets after Moses. He raised up Joshua. He raised up Samson and many other prophets all throughout the Bible, including Yahweh Shai, who the world calls Jesus Christ. And let me prove that. Let's get Genesis chapter 49. And this ain't talking about no Muhammad either, y'all. But I know the Islam, Muslims, they like to try to say it's talking about Muhammad. They need to stop their madness. So Genesis 49 and verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Christ is from the tribe of Judah, like it tells you in Hebrews 7 and 14, I think it is. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Now, Shiloh means peaceable one, prince of peace. That's talking about Yahweh Shai. It says, and unto him, so unto Yahweh Shai, shall the gathering of the people be. Meaning, Yahweh Shai is going to gather all the people. All what people? All the Israelite people to himself. It says, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's coat unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. So, once again, this is definitely talking about Yahweh Shai. And let me prove this, though. So, we're going to hold Genesis 49, and we go mash that up with Matthew chapter 21. Now, why am I bringing out all this information, y'all? If you're keeping up with the series, the first part of the series I was going over, we broke down extensive definitions of what it meant to be a Christian. Then I went over the Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Catholic Church, then Protestantism, to find out, because these are the three major sects of Christianity. It's the Eastern Orthodox Church, is the Roman Catholic Church, and then there's the Protestant Church. The Protestants were protesting against the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church wouldn't let them keep coming up with new innovations or new things to do concerning the rituals in church. The Eastern Orthodox Church, they were in dispute with the Roman Catholic Church over using unleavened bread as communion, and celibacy was one of the issues that they had. That's why they split off. But what I was attempting to do in the previous parts of this class was to show that religion has nothing to do with the Most High, even though the Israelites did start religion. And I go back, listen to the previous shows. I proved that extensively. We started the thing known as religion. And the world got hold of it, and they just took off running with it. But the Most High has never dealt with any religion. He's always dealt with a specific group of people, that people being the Israelites, y'all. We got to understand that. And now I'm proving that the church that we just read about in Acts, Stephen said extensively out of his mouth, was that same church that was with Moses back then in the wilderness. And who was those people? And once again, the church, the word church meaning congregation or gathering of people, who were the only people that gathered back then in the wilderness under the Most High. It was the Israelites. So when you get up to Acts, it's still talking about those same people. And then when Moses said the prophet was going to be raised, it's time a prophet to the nation of Israel. And then we're getting now, Genesis. We just left Genesis 49, where it talks about we were going to be gathered to that prophet, that being Yahweh Shai, the Son of the Most High. And then we're going to Matthew chapter 21 to show that Genesis 49 and 10 through 11 is in fact talking about Yahweh Shai. So Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, and it reads, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Yahweh Shai two disciples, saying unto them, go unto the villages over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. So you see, you're going to find an ass and a colt, which we just read in Genesis, the 49th chapter. Now watch this. And if any man say out unto you, ye shall say, the Lord had need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon the ass and the colt, the fold of an ass. Y'all see that? We just read. I'm going to read it again in Genesis. It says, Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his fold unto the vine, and his ass coat unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grace. Man, y'all see this. We just read the exact same thing in the book of Matthew. But remember this. And I'm going to read verse 5 again, Matthew 21 and verse 5. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. Now I said that, verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying. So a prophet said what we just read in verse 5. Now that prophet would be Zechariah. Let's go there. Zechariah 9:9. You got to love the Bible, man. It's a big puzzle. You got to put it together. Zechariah 9:9, and it reads, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass. See that? And upon a colt, the fold of an ass. We just read the exact same thing, man, in Matthew. So this is talking about Yahweh Shai. It's talking about Christ, man. Who the world ignorantly calls Jesus Christ. It's just to show, man, that the New Testament, the Old Testament, they all match up. But this king was designated only for the children of Israel. Not religion, the children of Israel. I hope everybody's seeing this. Now, what's the significance of him being on the ass? Let's get this right here. Let's get 1 Kings chapter 1. Chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse 33. Listen to this. The king also said unto them, take with you the service. Now, matter of fact, I have to jump up. Because what's happening right here, David's son, one of his sons, I forgot which son it was, had already declared himself king. But David had told Bathsheba that he was going to make her son Solomon his heir to the throne. Matter of fact, let me just double to verse 30. Verse 30, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the earth and did reverence the king and said, let my lord King David live forever. And King David said, call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon, my son, to ride upon my own mule and bring him down to Gihon. So what is the significance of him riding on a mule? Because this was a rite of passage, so to speak. This was our tradition, our cultural tradition. When Israel was declaring the king would come in sitting on a mule, and you would know that this is the king, or this is the one that's in rulership. I'm going to keep proving it. Watch this. I'm going to read it again. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel. Over who? Over Israel. And blow ye with the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. You see this, right? So this was the significance of Christ riding on that mule through the city. Because who else did this? Solomon did this by way of his father David. David orchestrated this or put this together to show Israel, this your king, riding on his mule. Y'all see that? Now, let me go a step further. Let's get Judges. What chapter 5 is it? Yep, chapter 5. Judges chapter 5, verse 10. Watch this. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. So who's sitting on white asses or mules or donkeys or foals? Because all of it means a small horse or an ass or a donkey. All of it's the same. Who's sitting on it? The person that's in judgment. Ye that sit in judgment. And Christ, we know, is the supreme judge. He's sitting. This is the reason. Matter of fact, let me get it. Let's go back to Matthew 21 now. Let me jump over. Might want to get it in another chapter. Let me see. Bear with me for a second, y'all. Man, Satan really don't want us to get this today, man. They kicked me off again, y'all. Anyway, we still breaking down Christ sitting on the ass being declared king. Man, I gotta get that. Let me just read Matthew 21 again to catch us up. So Matthew 21 this is it. Looking for stuff I already got. So Matthew 21, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and let me click out of this. They drew nigh unto him in Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jehoshaphat 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loosen them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. So they told him to go get this colt, this ass, mule, all the same thing. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, or Yahushua commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. So they set Yahusha on the colt, on the ass, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw them in their way. This is what religious folk call Palm Sunday. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, now listen to this, Hosanna For the son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, or Yahawashi, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Yahawashi went into the temple of God and cast all them out. Now this is going to when he went into the temple and threw everybody out and was beating them. But I read all this to show that all the scriptures go together. This is when Yahawashi was recognized as the king of Israel. Why? Because this is how Solomon was recognized as king of Israel. This is how the judges was recognized as judges. They were riding through the city on mules for everybody to see him, and it would be known commonly throughout Israel that this is your king or this is your judge, man. Because remember, before we even had kings, we had judges, y'all, and they sat in the seat of authority. So let me get, let's go back to Acts now, chapter 7. So Acts chapter 7 and verse 44 now. Now, once again, listen to this terminology. This is still Stephen or Stephen talking, y'all. This is before they stoned him. Verse 44, Acts 7, 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. You see, he's talking about who was in the wilderness, the Israelites. 40 years, right? Oh, excuse me. As he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Man, this is so beautiful, man. This is so beautiful. It mentions Moses to let you know what incident it's talking about. And this is why you got to read both parts of the Bible, y'all. Don't be in a religious mindset as just reading only the New Testament. You see how much valuable information you're going to miss out on? Reading on, verse 45. Which also our fathers, hear that, our fathers that came after brought in with Yahawashi in the possession of the Gentiles. And I'm sorry, y'all. Verse 45, this is not Yahawashi. This is actually talking about Joshua. It says, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Joshua into the possession of the Gentiles. And it's talking about when Joshua came in and killed those seven nations that the Most High told us to kill in Deuteronomy chapter, the seventh chapter, I believe it is. It says that those nations were mightier and greater than us, the Hittites and a whole list of them, but all of them was Hamite, African people. So this was Joshua that came in into the possession of the Gentiles, because he said he's going to give us great and godly houses or goodly houses that we didn't make. We didn't. We just walked in, killed these people, and we took over their residences that they were staying in and all their belongings. It says, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers, see, unto the days of David. Matter of fact, let me get it, y'all. See, I don't think I'm making stuff up. And then y'all can better comprehend what it's saying. So we're in Acts 7 to 45, but we're going to jump to Deuteronomy, the seventh chapter, just to show that it is, in fact, and I know this is Deuteronomy, this is Moses speaking, but remember, Moses died. He didn't even enter into the promised land, y'all. That was Joshua that came in. And the first act that they did, or Joshua did, was bringing down the walls of Jericho by the power of the Most High. But I got to get this so we can understand that that's not talking about Yahawashi. When we read in Acts, I know it says Jesus, but remember, that was a common name amongst Israelites, y'all, was Jesus. But it does, in fact, mean Joshua. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Here it is, Deuteronomy 7 and 1. When the Lord thy power shall bring thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations. Y'all see this? Greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughters shalt thou take, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So this is what it's talking about in Acts chapter 7. I'm going to read verse 45 again. Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Joshua, that's what it should be, into the possessions of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. Now, let me get that possession part. What is it? Deuteronomy 14. Let me see. 10 and 4. Let me get it, y'all. Man, I ain't been street speaking in forever. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Here, so when Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of the house of thy gates. And it shall be, now listen to this, y'all. This is the part I want to get to, verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy power, or God, shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest nigh. Y'all see that? We didn't build these cities. We came and we took them over. That's why in the next chapter, chapter 7, he tells us which nations we're going to kill and destroy, and we're going to take their houses. Chapter 11, chapter 6 and verse 11 now. Now watch this. And houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou planted not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. You see this? We didn't build none of this stuff. We just came in and took it over. But that is what Stephan is talking about here in Acts chapter 7 and verse 45. Let me read it again. Which our fathers that came after brought with Joshua into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. Y'all see that, right? So this is recounting our history. 46. Who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Israel. So it's talking about David finding favor with the Most High. And remember, David wanted to build him a temple. But the Most High told David he couldn't build it because he had too much blood on his hand. He had killed too many people. And some say that the only other person that killed more people than the Most High in the Bible is David. It may be true, but y'all go back and read Joshua. Joshua killed a lot of people, too. Joshua killed a whole lot of people, too. But what people don't understand, y'all, is that when David was killing all those people, what David was continuing was Joshua's job. He was on the campaign that the Most High had told, even back in Deuteronomy, told Moses to do, that Joshua actually executed, but during the time of Judges, we fell off. We fell off and we got into all kind of crap, and we kept going into captivities under the Hamites, which were the Philistines. And by the time you get to David, because David saved us from the Philistines when he killed Goliath, that was a form of salvation. And he warred against the Philistines all the time. Remember, that's who Saul was fighting, but he wasn't successful. But David was. And David had those garrisons put up. So David was continuing the conquest or the campaign that the Most High had told Moses to do, which Joshua started. David was finishing that. So that's why it mentions David here. It says, verse 46, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. You see that? The tabernacle, which is the church, has always been for the power of Jacob, God of Jacob, and whose God has he always been consistently? The Israelite God. So to say that it applies now to religion or other nations or not, continuous with the narrative of the Bible, y'all. It ain't. It's contradictory. So verse 46, who found favor before God or power and desired to find a tabernacle for the power of Israel or power of Jacob? Verse 47. Now listen to this. But Solomon built him a house. See, David didn't do it. Solomon built it. Now watch this, verse 48. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. You see that? Said the prophets. So, and this is one of the verses that I pulled when I first came into the truth and was introducing what I had learned to my mother. Because she still is a big proponent of going to church. But the scripture says that the Most High don't dwell in temples made with hands. He don't. We don't get to what the real temple is in a second. Now watch this, verse 49. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, said the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Had not my hands made all of these things? So this is what the Most High had told. And you read this way back in, I believe it's in Isaiah. But for time restraint, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go here and get to my cuz. He said that the Most High don't dwell in temples made with hands, right? Now watch this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's see what the real church is. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 reads this. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Y'all see that? So it's a true statement. The Most High don't dwell in temples made with him. He dwells in you. You are the temple. But the you being the Israelites, because that was the original church. That's the only church that the Most High has ever dealt with. That's the only gathering of people or congregation that the Most High has ever dealt with. We just read it in Acts chapter 7, verse 37, verse 38. So the Most High is saying, or Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, that you don't know, but you're actually the temple of the Most High. You Israelites. You don't believe me? Now watch this. So this is the letter. I know they're called epistles, but epistle means letter. But these are letters that Paul wrote. Now, remember, he wrote Corinthians to who? Let's find out who he wrote it to. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Yahweh Shah, Jesus Christ, do the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. So he's letting you know who he wrote to, or who's writing the letter. It says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church. So he's letting you know who it's from. He's letting you know, first off, who the letter is from. Then he said, lets you know who it's addressed to, verse 2, unto the church of God. The church, here we go again. The church of God. What's the church, y'all? Acts 7, verse 38. The church that was spoke to, that Moses spoke to in the wilderness. So it hasn't changed. It has not changed, y'all. But you will have religious say that everybody is the church as long as they believe, but that is not the case. It says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Yahweh Shai, called to be saints. So who is he writing to? The church. And then it even breaks it down further, said, the saints. This is who he addressed the letter to. But let's use the Bible to see who the saints are. Back in the Old Testament, watch this, y'all. Psalms 148 and verse 14 to get who the church is. 148:14, he also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints. So he's talking about the Most High's people. He said the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, of people near unto him, praise ye the Lord. So who are the saints, man? It's the Israelites. So who was Paul addressing this letter to in Corinth? Corinth. Read again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints. And who are the saints once again, y'all? It's the Israelites. So who are the who's the church? It's the Israelites. It's one and the same, y'all. Now, this is a good place to stop, and it's trying to cut me off anyway. This is a good stopping point. When we come back, we're going to continue to explore the church. And we're going to go into how a lot of people say that Israel rejected Christ. Therefore, the Most High opened up salvation to all other nations. So we're going to go into that when we come back, proving that that is not the case, man. And I'm going to present the evidence like I always do, because one of my slogans is that truth is something that is proven. If you can't prove it, it ain't the truth. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I hope you got some out of the class, out of the news. I hope I wasn't rambling too much. I don't know what was going on with me getting kicked off, y'all, but I hope y'all were able to click back on expeditiously and finish getting the lesson. I hope you got a lot of understanding. I hope it was clear. The Water Mashallah for hooking up the broadcast. The Water Israel for those that are tuning in and those who will tune in. I really appreciate y'all supporting y'all tuning in to Blog Talk. We're going to keep it going, y'all. But this is your brother, Tyler Pop. I'm signing off. And I want to say y'all have a good day. Barakatai Yahawabah Shem Yahushai. Most High Christ bless y'all. And say shalom, y'all.